Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and myself, Brady Quinn. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, man, we got ourselves a game that I don't know if a lot of people thought it was going to shape up like this, but it is a little bit concerning for one team involved, and we will have that for you here coming up just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, and wherever you are making us a part of your Monday morning, we appreciate you doing so, as we are going to take you all the way up through the end of the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. You are just a class personified,
thank you,
man.
Thank you.
Get a hold of yourself.
Thank you.
Not literally.
No.
I
will literally get a hold of myself.
Hey, we were talking about this during the break, Brady. Why were the Miami Dolphins throwing a screen pass in the end zone? What am I missing there with that play call?
I don't know. There's a lot of things going on there.
I mean,
why is he in the end zone trying to catch the ball?
Yeah, like a wide receiver screen.
Why is Jacoby throwing the ball, seeing the corner push up to come get him while they're all in the end zone? Like,
completely separate conversation though. Jacoby did battle them back into that game.
Fair enough.
I know it's early. I understand the fact they took two and all that. I'm just saying. Jonas, we talked about this in the summer. I think we were talking about backups and which one had the best chance to I was like Jacoby Brissett because of the way Flores has handled Tua, his injury history. And they've got some good players. Like those wide receivers, Gesicki at tight end, that's a good position to be in, maybe minus a few play calls here and there. But that's an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Well, you know who was high on Jacoby Brissett coming out of college was Bill Parcells.
Mm. And I'm
a Parcells guy, so if Parcells signs off on it, I'm
the
a Jacoby
big tuna.
Brissett fan. I love Bill Parcells, man.
Is his hair still blonde? Like really, really, really blonde?
I don't know. Let's get him on the phone. Yeah, you call Bill Parcells, just ask if his hair is still blonde. We could find out, just get an update on that. But no, they did look good. Also, you know, are the Raiders the worst 3-0 team in the history of the NFL? I'm going to go with yes. I'm going to say
in
the history of the league.
You would.
Yeah, listen. I mean, ask me who my number two worst 3-0 team of all time is. Go ahead, ask me.
You're going to go to Pittsburgh.
No, just ask me. Go ahead. Somebody ask me. All right.
No,
I don't know.
I don't know who it is.
That was my shallow take just to piss off Raider fans.
You are a pretty shallow dude, man.
I just think that Raider fans are so, you know, for such a quote unquote badass fan base, they're so sensitive.
I just never heard of a bad undefeated team.
Well, I mean, listen, the Steelers last year.
I don't believe this, but here's what I would say about a 3-0 team that you might say is a little suspect. Okay, I think they're going to be a playoff team, but the Broncos are 3-0, same division. They're tied with the Raiders right at the top. Do you know what the combined record is of the three teams they've beaten so far?
What's that?
0-9. So if there's anyone who you might be saying like, okay, 3-0, like, are they for real? Are they legit? You could look at the schedule of the Broncos and go, we might need to see a little bit more. But that being said, they have dominated those bad teams.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, but isn't this supposed to be based off of game-by-game measurement? Like, I'm not saying – you got to be a Super Bowl contender because you're undefeated. And now that makes you a legit 3-0 team. 3-0 is 3-0.
Yeah. It's 3-0.
That's all it comes. Like, let me tell you something. That year that John Madden said that he would jump out at a Goodyear blimp if we went to the Super Bowl, if we started off 3-0, I would feel really good about us.
Yeah.
Well, now, no matter where you fall off the cliff, or you slide down that slippery slope, and become the team that people thought you were supposed to be, whether that be at the end of the year, whether it be mid-year, whether it be in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. At that point in time, you're good. I don't care if it's underratedly good, overratedly good, suspect good, legitimately good. To be 3-0, I don't care what their combined records are. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care. If you can win 3 games straight in the National Football League, you've earned 3 games.
Yep. But again, this is, you know, you got to find a way to go to the ribs on Raider fans sometimes.
I mean,
I understand, you know, you're
trying to heckle. They've had 2 really, really quality wins, bro, and then fought their way back and stayed in and did what they needed to do to win in overtime yesterday. And in fact, I don't think that Miami is a horrible team. I don't think they're a bad team at all. So you're talking about, well, I don't know. I don't know where Pittsburgh is right now. I don't know where they're at
now. The Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah. You heard, I didn't use it. Yeah. I don't know where Pittsburgh is right now.
Yeah.
Well, are you not using it because you're
I just don't know where they're at right now. And as a fan, this is the fanboy side of me. I kind of feel resistant to using a name that's connected to the greatness of the city and to the team.
Did you listen Steelers. To the Steelers polka song when you were a kid? Was that
no?
Have you heard the Steelers polka?
I'll tell you what song we did listen to.
What's that?
The Here We Go Super Bowl song when Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green and LeVon Kirkland and Chad Brown and all them dudes went to the Super Bowl against the Dallas Cowboys that had Deion Sanders all of those guys,
yeah.
You know, Mike Irving. It goes like this. Here we go. Boom, 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 boom. Here we go. Boom, 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 boom. Here we go. Steelers. Here we go.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And I like
they go into the.
Yeah.
They go into
yeah,
the
yeah, I like yeah. that. Yeah. I like that.
Now, that's a song that was ringing through
was
the entire
fire.
City back then.
Now,
my day.
Is that while highlights of Neil O'Donnell throwing interceptions in the end zone are playing?
You know, I mean, you're just truly like.
I'm asking
like
questions
you're a
here.
D-bag
I
sometimes,
mean,
man.
Was Bubby Brister on that team?
No,
he wasn't. He's
was.
A little older. That was Neil O'Donnell, and I want to. I don't know who the backup was, but I want to say it was like Cordell.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah,
I think Cordell.
You're right.
Yeah,
I think it was.
Slash.
What about Bubby Brister? What have we talked?
We called him Flubby.
My dad used to call me Bubby when I was young.
We called him Flubby.
We used to watch Bubba Brister, and he used to say, "Ah, there you are, Bubby. There you are." You know, and even though we were Browns fans, like I was always like, "Oh, cool. That's my nickname." You know, I thought for a while that's where it came from, which it really didn't. But my dad convinced me of that. Otherwise, very similar to another good family friend. Who till about the age I was 13 or 14 thought I was legitimately born in the back of a bus because he convinced me of that at a young age, which also was not the case, but yeah. I digress.
Now listen, do you want to hear the Steelers polka? You know, I mean
this one is older. The Steelers polka older song.
I mean, come on, let's just hear.
I kind of don't.
I mean, come on, little Steelers polka here.
Come on, let's hear.
Football team. We cheer the Pittsburgh Steelers.
There's a lot of Italians in Pittsburgh. And just in case you were wondering why it sounds like this, there are a ton of Italians in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know what else there is in Pittsburgh?
You know what really ticks off an Italian, though?
What's that?
If you pronounce it Italian.
Italian.
Go say, are you Italian? It'll make them irate.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a D word, too, that I won't use on air.
I wouldn't do that.
You don't want to get
in trouble here.
Yeah, but I mean, we were tight like that. You know, they could use the N word, and I could use the D word, and we were just using words that were just D words and N words, you know?
Listen, I know.
We just loved each other like that, though. Amen. You know what I mean? Like,
you know,
one good one deserved another. You know what I mean?
You got to be careful.
You got to be real with it out here. You know what I mean?
You can't
halfway it. You know what I mean?
I hear you. You see our window. I mean, tell me.
Let me tell you something. Tough dudes, man. Shouts out to Mario Grana, the Tony Bassesi, rest his soul. Let me tell you something. Some of the best football players and football that I've seen and been a part of were with Italians, man.
Yeah, well, listen,
they play some football,
bro. Pennsylvania high school football, man. It's not Ohio, but I mean, you know, it's pretty good. Pennsylvania high school football. Yeah. You know, a little just a little.
Is that what you're going
to
go with?
Listen, I'm just, you know, trying to.
I mean, LeVar is going to say otherwise, but I think the Big 33 game set it off.
Well, I mean, we beat them. I think if you look at the record,
that might have been the last time that you beat them. I think if you look at the record,
I don't know, man. You think so? I don't know, man.
Listen, I'm not.
Ohio made me a number two overall draft pick in the draft. Man, so thanks to the state of Ohio. Thanks to the state of Ohio, man. You know what I mean? Because you know that's. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Who did you? Who did you bully on the Ohio State offensive line that made you a number two pick? Who got it?
Nobody got it.
Okay.
They couldn't see me. I had that reaction juice. Yeah. It was like, now you see me, now you don't.
And the little,
you know what I mean? That invisible juice.
Yeah, the little. I like the little head nod there. Yeah. By the way, we are brought to you by NHTSA. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious of crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. All right, so coming up next, there is a situation to pay close attention to in the NFL because we could have ourselves a problem for one team that's a Super Bowl contender. Tender. We'll get into that next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, but they're not very good. So, you know, we don't want to, you know,
well,
make this
when
a
that song was out,
show.
When yeah. that song was out, they were really good.
They were really good.
They were good times to be had. I mean, I was too young to remember, but. Yeah. I heard about it.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up, we'll call it a little over 10 minutes from now. Who did it better? Was it, I mean, just a great moment for one, an awful moment for another? We will compare who did it better here a little over 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. You know, just
this is going to be epic.
Yeah, just got to, just, you know, break it down. You know, the tail of the tape, if you will. You're a boxing guy, Brady, big MMA guy. I know you were watching the fights this weekend.
Yeah.
I think now you scored the fights on Twitter, did you or no?
Not this weekend.
Okay,
this weekend.
Just want to be clear on that.
Not this weekend.
By the way, we are brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. All right, so the Chargers get a big win on the road. They take care of the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Now, there was a situation involving Andy Reid. The Chiefs released a statement on Twitter that reads the following. Head coach Andy Reid felt ill at the conclusion of the game. He was evaluated by our medical staff in the locker room and as a precaution was transported to the University of Kansas Health System for further evaluation. Coach is doing well, currently resting and in stable condition. So, obviously, we wish the best to Andy Reid.
Indeed.
There in Kansas City. But turning to the game itself, I mean, look, man, you turn the ball over that many times, you can't expect that good things are going to happen. But give the Chargers credit. Staley got aggressive there in the fourth quarter, going for it on fourth down. They get a PI call and get bailed out there. But they go into Kansas City and they get it done. So the Kansas City Chiefs fall to the Chargers in that AFC West battle yesterday.
Can I ask you this, though? Like, Kansas City might not have had a chance at the end of the game if the Chargers just ran the clock out and went for a field goal, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
That was kind of confusing to me, only because then you end up missing the PAT, and you really did put yourself in the position to be able to watch potential greatness. I mean, you did end up giving them a Hail Mary at the end, which you never know with Mahomes, with that arm strength and how special he is and some of their playmakers. I just, as much as it was a good win, and we saw a win like this last year with the Las Vegas Raiders going into Arrowhead and getting a win, and I'm not trying to take anything away. I was a bit surprised, though, because if I'm playing against the Chiefs, and even though I feel extremely confident in our offense and everything we're capable of doing, I am not giving them another chance to come out on the football field. And then, because crazy things happen in the NFL. We saw it in Baltimore and Detroit. I just think that was the only thing that I'll say. If they could do that all over again, I'm not sure they go that direction.
They had to come back last week. Yeah, I mean, I think that they're, again, I said this in the offseason, there's a strong possibility that the defenses have caught up to what Kansas City and what Patrick Mahomes is doing. They're not blowing the doors off of teams this year. And, it, you know, I don't feel like it should be justified by saying it's too early in the season for them to be on that level. Give them some time. This is a team that has been together. They've been doing a lot of really, really explosive things together. And that sounded really horrible. But with that being said, getting away from the awkwardness of what I just said.
Special things.
Right.
Special things together.
They did some pretty awesome things on the football field that led to some fun and gun type stuff. We hadn't seen an offense achieve like this since Kurt Warner and Torrey Holt and all of those guys and Marshall Faulk when they were in St. Louis as the Rams. So to see the way that they're having to either win games or the way they have lost yesterday, it just says to me that they're going to have to figure out what's going to happen moving forward. Because, I don't think that the intimidation factor, the fear factor, is there anymore for Kansas City, for one. For two, if you really, really, really peel back the onion on what this offense is, they're a crossing routes team. And if you're able to understand and figure out how to play the crossers and where they're going in their crosser, are they intermediate crossing? Are they deep ball crossing? Where are they settling on the field? But Kelce and Tariq made their living off of crossing routes. And they also made their living off of being fast on misdirection, quick developing plays. Now, it sounds simple in theory that this is what they run, but it's very difficult to defense it because you don't know when it's coming or how it's coming or the way Patrick Mahomes is going to do it. But I don't think that intimidation factor, sitting back in zones, waiting to see what they're going to do to you, I just don't see it taking place this year. And I think that it's creating a difficult proposition for this coaching staff to figure out plays that are going to work against these teams.
When's the last time Kansas City was dominant? I mean, because it hasn't been this year.
Last year.
Okay, but even if you go back to last year, you go towards the end of the season. I mean, in the postseason, outside of the game against Buffalo, I mean, they did struggle against Cleveland. Obviously, we know what happened in the Super Bowl. And then if you go even towards the end of last season.
Well, that's because of injuries, though. And injuries to like a very significant piece of your team, which is to your offensive front. And Patrick Mahomes' foot was bummed up. So I'm not, they were still a dominant team last year, but when you look at them this year, it's like, what is the differentiator for them right now? I would ask you, Brady, what is the differentiator for Kansas City this year?
I would say this, as good as they are, as dynamic as they are throwing the football, they still have to be able to have the ability to run it and protect Mahomes more consistently. Remember, from their center over to the right tackle, they're all first-year starters. They're all first-year starters. So it was going to be a work in progress to a degree up front. I think that's played a bit of a factor into it. And then I think you look at their defense, and look, they've tried to move Chris Jones, who is one of the best D tackles in the league. I mean, I would say after Aaron Donald, maybe Chris Jones is the next player, but they moved him outside of D-end. I don't think that's benefiting them very well. And so, you know, I think you move him back inside, keep him inside, and maybe that plays a much greater impact on the defense, at least moving forward. But I think what you're starting to see a little bit is, not saying that you can't, you know, pay your quarterback and pay other players and be able to, you know, have good players around them, but I think if you look at their team, they are a group of stars on their roster in Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Kelce and Chris Jones and Tyrann Mathieu. And then they've got other guys who are filling in that I think at times, get beat in matchups. Teams are trying to, you know, pick on them. And I think they're like a couple of like lockdown corners away of truly being like a really, really tough defense to go up against, especially when you let the Honey Badger kind of roam free and just let them have eyes on the quarterback. But I don't know that their pass rush is quite the same. I don't know if that move with Jones is quite the same to the outside. Like, there's a number of things that I think you're looking at right now saying, it's early and maybe that'll change over the course of the season. But I just think we overlooked some of the issues that may be still lingering from that Super Bowl loss on this roster.
Would you have imagined that Kansas City would be fourth in the AFC West with a 1-2 record going into week four?
No. Well,
it's the reason why I'd say that was surprising is only because I didn't think Las Vegas would jump out to the start they have. I didn't think, you know, I thought that was gonna be a tough matchup against LA like that and we saw that last year, but I didn't anticipate Denver and Las Vegas playing as well so early as they have so far this year.
When you see how good Justin Herbert is, don't you ask yourself, what the hell happened at Oregon? Like why? If this was there,
I don't do that.
But if this was there, why wasn't it utilized more at Oregon? Like isn't that sort of a? I mean,
we had that conversation earlier. You just got to know how to develop your players. Go, Barry.
Well, no, I think. See, the thing is, I think he did develop over his time there. You know, I got to watch him as a true freshman to a senior, and he did some special things. They got better every year. He got better every year. You know, he capped it off with a Rose Bowl win. I just think. You didn't see his ability to take over a game and just launch downfield until he got to the NFL.
Well, you got a dope receiving core.
Well, he does, but I also feel like he had some pretty good players too during his time at Oregon, especially at least for the college level. And his offensive line had a ton of guys who went to the next level too and played. So I think it was more of the system, because there's times now even watching Oregon. That's just the identity of what their head coach wants to do, Mario Cristobal. He's a former offensive lineman. He wants to run the football and then supplement things off of that. And so I think that might have been holding them back a little bit back then, because it's hard to explain now watching the way he's able to kind of dissect stuff down the field. You would see flashes of that, but never consistently enough. And I don't know whether that was a byproduct of the play calling, their offensive philosophy, his inabilities to do so, whatever the case may be. But, I mean, he is an absolute stud.
It just felt like of those three quarterbacks coming into the draft, there were more questions about Justin Herbert than there were Tua and Joe Burrow. And at this point in their careers, I don't even think it's close. I think Herbert's on another level.
But is Justin Herbert Justin Herbert in Cincinnati? Is he Justin Herbert in Miami? That's the question you got to ask yourself.
He did get drafted in a good spot. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I think personnel wise, I mean, they for some strange reason they could not find a way to win games last year, but they were good enough to beat all the teams that they lost to, and I think you're starting to see that now, and they're starting to believe that they're a better team, which takes me back to my original point. Kansas City's in trouble. They're in trouble. Like I think that they're going to. I think they're going to be a playoff team, but I don't know that we can continue the narrative of the reign of dominance that has been so easily lobbed out there and utilized over the last two seasons. I don't know that they are far enough ahead now to be able to say, oh, don't worry about it. This is just, you know, a bump in the road. It's early. Kansas City will be dominant again. I don't know that I see that. In this team.
And also, Super Bowl hangovers are a real thing. And we sort of dismissed it because we just thought, well, they got Mahomes. Listen, they're gonna be different. It feels like they're a long way off from where they were a couple years ago.
Forget about a hangover. It's just tough to get there.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's tough to get there. And
it
so
is.
To think that they were a coin flip away 3 years ago, they won it the following year. The year after that, they get there, they lose to the Bucks. I mean, it's just tough to do what they've done. And to be able to maintain that. So I think, LeVar, I think you're right in the sense of we're done with the days of seeing them be dominant. I still think they're one of the top teams in the AFC. I still would say because of the talent of Mahomes, which, I mean, look, I think one of the things that stood out to me at least is like the no-look passes are awesome, until they don't work, until they lead to an interception, right? Like, that's one of those plays where you go, probably not necessary to throw a no-look pass. You've got a guy who's running back across the field. That defender who's chasing him isn't looking at you. And that zone player, that hole player, he might be looking at you, but he's not making a play on that football. You're throwing it completely in a different direction. So it's like all that stuff is fun. It's cool. Kids try to do it, but it's not good football, especially when it ends up in a turnover that might end up costing you the game.
You know, we judged Russell Wilson off of interceptions. We said that Russell Wilson threw the MVP award to the defense, and those turnovers, those interceptions that he got, what was it? He got up to four or five interceptions, where we said he is out of contention for the MVP race because of those interceptions.
Yeah.
Well, how are we looking at Patrick Mahomes this year? Because he's turning the ball over. I mean, and granted, okay, maybe the receiver lets the ball get away, but so did some of those plays that happened with Russ last year. A receiver let that ball get away, and it ends up being an interception. How are we going? Are we going to measure and judge and weigh Patrick Mahomes the same way? What if he ends up with four or five? What is he at right now? Like two or three now?
He's got two. I think it was first two interceptions in the month of September yesterday.
Right? What if he ends up at four or five interceptions at the halfway mark of the season? Is he still a top runner for the NFL MVP? Because right now, I think the team you're hating on, the team you want to not give any props, I think Carr is the front runner for MVP right now.
I mean, you asked the question, are we going to give him the same criticism we give Russell Wilson? No, because Patrick Mahomes didn't act like a tool during the offseason. So no, we're not going to do that.
Why has Russ got to be acting like a tool?
Well, because he's got a private jet, and he's got his own logo on his private jet that he's got to show off.
Okay. Stuff he's married to Sierra.
Yeah, I get it. But there's
a lot of bitterness in your heart.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man.
Russ is one of the dopest dudes ever.
I mean,
around,
listen, you know, he comes off a little bit, a little bit tool-y,
man.
A little bit toolboxy.
I don't know, man. You know, you're shallow how, man.
Listen,
you're shallow how,
bitter.
Shallow
I'm
how.
Just saying,
nuts,
man. I'm just saying, Russell Wilson came off.
So we're not going to. So he's going to be judged differently because he doesn't handle things the way that Russell Wilson does.
Yes, 100%. By me. How about that?
All right.
It's
settled.
Yeah,
I mean,
listen.
Case is closed.
Case closed. Yes. Now we moved on. All right, and it's not shallow how. Okay, I got particular tastes. All right, and they just might differ from yours. I don't need to be judged here in the air for it.
Your taste is very narrow.
And then you ask Lee for confirmation, and I look like the a-hole.
I mean, you're the tool.
Well, what do you think Lee was going to say when you show him that picture?
I mean, of course he was.
Brady,
going
you
to,
know Lee. You know his appetite.
Lee was going to be okay.
Yeah, of course.
You're not.
All right.
Lee finds the positive, you find the negative.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh. That is true.
I do want to clarify and correct LeVar. I know you said that Patrick Mahomes only had two interceptions. I got your back.
Yeah,
man.
No worries. How many was it?
Yeah, it's a three. Okay, he did throw an interception last week. So there I just want to make sure that.
No worries,
know,
man. I'm glad that we cleared that up.
I just want to, because I didn't make that mistake. That definitely wasn't me that did it.
It's all good, bro. I appreciate you saving me on that.
I just.
What, Brady? What's the problem?
Nothing.
I appreciate it, man.
You know, he always does this.
Look, you know, why be accountable?
I'm not
Ben Roethlisberger. I will point the finger. I'm not pointing the thumb at myself, like Roethlisberger said earlier.
Yeah, you're more the Neil O'Donnell.
Damn right.
Steelers quarterback. Yeah. It's not my style to take the blame for those two interceptions and us losing this Super Bowl, only one of the biggest games of the history of the franchise. It's more of a team thing. Like, we lost this game together. Do you understand I hated Neil O'Donnell after that game, after that interview? First of all, I hated Larry Smith. Is that his name?
Larry Brown.
I hated him.
Got paid, though.
Because I'm like, we're worried about Dion, and you're throwing the ball to Larry Brown? Okay, but then you're standing outside of the locker room. Now, this is what I remember very vividly. Neil O'Donnell was standing outside of the locker room. And back then, you know, I think I'm like a freshman or a sophomore in high school, whatever it was. And he's standing outside the locker room. And the first thing I thought to myself is, they don't want him in the locker room. They don't want him in the locker room. So he's doing this interview, and he basically said all the stuff that I just said. Like, listen, man. like, it ain't my style to take the blame for what happened. We lost this team. We lost this game as a team. And I hated him. Like, literally, it's the first time. I grew up in a Christian home. Dad's a reverend. I'm a preacher's kid. You're taught not to hate. Do not hate somebody. Don't love your neighbor. All that good stuff, right? All those scriptural quotes.
Especially a fellow Irishman that you would
I'm an O'Arrington. He's an O'Donnell. Yeah. Well, you know, I just – I had to have O on O hate take place. It was a hate crime that took place with another O.
I mean, it had to happen, you know? So, I mean
– I don't think I've gotten over it to this day.
It doesn't sound like it. But you know.
I don't think I will ever get over the fact that Neil O'Donnell literally threw our Super Bowl away that year.
I mean, Yancey Thigpen could have a Super Bowl ring
right now.
Nice
pool.
If not for
Andre Hastings.
Yeah. Too bad.
How about that?
Too bad for those guys.
Ernie Mills.
All right. Oh, God, I remember Ernie Mills.
Eric Green.
Yeah. All those guys.
Dope tight end.
Yep. Played for the Dolphins.
We were loaded,
too, right?
Man. Yeah, we were loaded, bro.
All right. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. All right. So coming up next, we are going to find out who did it better. Also, scandal. We have got ourselves a scandal in the NFL. Things are getting juicy. We're going to have it in the scraps for you next here on FSR.
Hi, Trish.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio.
He had already paid.
LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox of the year.
Him was going home.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, so we will be back on the
air
tomorrow.
You are the worst.
Here. What do you
Brady,
want me to do?
This dude is the worst, man.
All right, if the joke's there, I got to take it. I don't know what to tell you.
It's too soon.
It was way too soon. All right.
That's a staple of Jonas Knox.
My gosh.
Uncomfortably too soon, jokes.
Oh, it was uncomfortable. Yeah.
All right.
Good job.
So we have, so we will be again back on
fire.
6 a.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains Camp, brought to you by NHTSA. Right now, it's time for something we do on the show, and it's called this.
You moron.
How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to our executive producer, Lee DeLapp, to find out what the hell we've missed so far on the show.
Hey, Lee.
Hey, guys. History was made this weekend as Ravens kicker Justin Tucker barely made the league record 66-yard field goal to put the Lions away. This is how it sounded on WBAL Ravens Radio Network.
A 66-yard try. Tucker's kick is on the way. It is good!
Off the crossbar, and it tumbles through. It is good! Time has expired. Justin Tucker with the longest field goal in NFL history. The hay is in the barn.
The hay is in the barn. The hay!
Hey!
First off.
In the middle of the barn.
First off. How in the hell do you let a Baltimore wide receiver get that wide open in that situation?
Well, there's an
to
easy
even
answer
have
here.
A shot.
I mean, there's an easy answer.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So Lions. Yeah. I'm just saying.
San Fran did the same thing.
If there was poor
decision making.
If there was a team and a fan base that was ever going to get their hearts ripped out on a 66-yard record-setting field goal at home in a game they should have won,
it'd be them.
Yeah, it's just I feel. Good God, man.
Can I make this statement? I don't think that record will be broken.
I agree.
In a long, long time. I mean, I was, you know, Prater, a 64-yarder. Like, I've seen it. You're at altitude there in Denver. I'm sorry. I think there's so much risk to taking that chance and that kick. Justin Tucker's the greatest to ever do it. I don't think that gets broken. If it does, it's probably by Justin Tucker.
I don't know, man. These kickers are getting bigger, stronger, and they're kicking the ball further.
Yeah.
That's fine, but you gotta have the accuracy too.
Look, I don't want to give them any more credit than what they're deserving of, and I'm totally on board with you. I think that for as long as the record has stood for it to fall yesterday, but I'm just telling you, I'm literally in this space every day with these kids, and there are eighth graders and ninth graders that are kicking 50-plus yard field goals,
okay,
man.
If it happens in Denver, it doesn't count, right?
Well, no, that's actually going to count the first time.
Yeah, it's going to count.
No, listen. It shouldn't count. If it happens in Denver, it shouldn't count.
No, that's you being a hater, bro.
I'm not a hater, man.
Stop being a hater, man.
Hold on a second. LeVar just stopped himself from saying they're bigger, faster, and stronger.
I wasn't hating because I'm being accurate. They don't have to be fast. We don't have to be afraid of them hitting somebody too hard. They're just going to kick the ball. They're bigger, they're stronger, and they're kicking the ball further.
66 yards. Jesus, man. Like,
but you're
kick.
Right, Brady, the accuracy of it. But these dudes are doing some wild S with these balls these days.
Well, I don't
you
doubt
that.
Did we get that
in the back?
you F8 that? Someone back there?
Yeah. There you go. LeVar's greatest hit. Congratulations.
Oh, I had two there questionable is, moments
yeah,
today.
There it is.
I digress.
Well done.
Oh,
what else we got, Lee?
All right, guys. We finally found out why Dallas Cowboys right tackle Lyle Collins was suspended. It was for trying to bribe a league drug test collector.
Yes! Huh.
As we know, players can't be suspended for positive marijuana tests, but we do know that he supposedly missed out on 7 tests and then tried to bribe the drug test collector.
He must be in the program. You know, once you get in the program, there is no,
okay.
As they said, Rocky, no easy way out.
You want me to tell you a story?
Come on, give us a story. I'm not going to say what team.
Okay. I'm not going to say what team.
Or player.
But I remember when we used to go out with one particular team. I remember going out to the club with the fellas, and I remember seeing our drug testing guy at the table.
Oh, wow.
And I was like,
because they were in the program.
Wait, no. It was like, wait, what? Oh, no, not because they're in the program.
Because they're homies.
Right.
Oh, wow.
They're partaking in the bribery. Hold on for a second. This dude's at the club with us? Like, okay. I see how it works.
Got him in the pocket.
He didn't pay for a drink, did he?
No, he did not.
And I was just sitting there thinking to myself, man, that's a pretty slick move.
He was playing with the booger sugar, too.
That's as good of recruiting as I've ever seen at any level.
All right, I'm just asking the questions.
I'm just asking the questions that need to be asked here on the air. So, Brady, I mean, since we're on the topic, I think this is fair. Who was the drug addict?
No.
I mean, come on. Who was the drug addict you played with? I mean, I don't think it's a drug addict.
Right. I'm just saying they had some things they wanted to take care of.
Who was a snowblower?
And that would be plural. That wouldn't be singular.
Yeah, it was more than one guy. It was very plural.
I mean, there's no reason to pinpoint one. I mean, did you feel you felt safe afterwards though?
Hey,
I mean,
you know what's funny about this, LeVar? This is why we can never get any guests on. You know, it's because I don't trust them with Jonas.
So how many times did you pop positives?
Hey, listen, there's a lot of people out there that are like, you know, who in the NFL's got a drug problem. I feel like I'm asking questions that are pertinent to the conversation.
Sure, we'll never bring on a guest.
So I'm the reason.
I don't want to be a guest.
Screw you guys. That were fans.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.